Okay, this is called the power of the kingdom of God. I actually love talking about the kingdom of God. It's one of my favorite things to do is to talk about the kingdom of God. And so we're going to talk about the power of the kingdom of God today. Last week, if you remember, we spoke about leaving the past behind, and the past always wants to bring us back to issues. And that's worth getting. That message is worth getting hold of. But I want to speak to you on the power of the kingdom of God and what wonderful working power it is. It's a working power. It's not a dormant power, it's a working power. So I want to start off with, I guess, one of my favorite passages. It's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And it goes on, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And I want to hear this verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So the kingdom of God is exceeding powerful, and that power is coming toward us. I want you to hear this. And I've said this before, the gifts of God are coming towards us. The power of God is coming towards us all the time. You don't have to go to a special meeting or go to a special event for the power of God to come towards you. It's towards you all the time. It depends if you've got your catcher, if you're ready to hear. So it's coming towards you all the time. It's there, it's ready, it's available, just waiting for somebody to understand the revelation about what the kingdom of God's about. And how you get hold of it is by meditating the things of God, the revelation of this in your heart, and then release it with your mouth. It's always twofold. You know, it would be no good if Adam was just to meditate that vision without speaking it out. Be no good at all. And that's what in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's not in word, in power. And I can tell you now that you can go to probably 90% of the churches through Australia and there's a lot of word being spoken, a lot of things being spoken, but there's no demonstration of the power of God. There's no demonstration. And that's what we should be doing. The church has become powerless and devoid of miracles, devoid of signs and wonders. And it's time to release our faith and expect God to turn up. Expect him to turn up. And the problem is that so many people think, well, I don't have that power. I can't do that. All you've got to do is believe and declare. It's not up to you, it's God. It's his faith. This is what Luke 19 and verse 12 says. And therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That, so he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. Another translation says, occupy till I come. So right now, Jesus has told us, do business, occupy till I come back. He's away. He's at the right hand of the Father. And it's up to us to do business, to do the business of the kingdom until he comes. We have to be busy about doing the business of the kingdom. Romans 8 and verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is groaning, waiting for you to be revealed. Now, all will be revealed when Jesus comes back again. But right now, it's when creation needs the sons of God to be revealed. Right now, it needs God on the earth. And God will not come down to the earth, but by through you. He's not coming. He sent his Spirit to be our comforter. But people get the impression that the Holy Spirit is out doing it first and we're just catching up to him. No, the Holy Spirit empowers us. We're the ones that do. We're the ones that speak. He speaks to us. He doesn't lay his hands on people. You're the ones that lay your hand on people. He empowers, he anoints your hands. He anoints you to do the work of ministry. That's what it's about. See, our task is to do the business of the kingdom until Jesus returns, and that business is simply declaring the word, or his word, and demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. And so Romans 14 verse 17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." I want to say that again. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. And people everywhere are looking for peace. They're looking for joy. I mean, it doesn't matter who they are, they still want peace. They want joy in their life. And that's why they're trying to get it. They're trying all avenues to get hold of some sort of joy in their life. And everyone's on this trip of enjoying their life all the time. Their whole life is consumed with this, you know, trying to get pleasure and seekers of pleasure because they think that's going to satisfy it. But I tell you, it doesn't satisfy. They've got to go away the next weekend and the next weekend. We've got neighbours that go away every weekend, camping, every weekend, because nothing satisfies. There's no satisfaction in their life, so they're always trying to do something to fill the gap. We know that only true peace and joy can be found in the Holy Spirit, and it's time for the kingdom of God to manifest, because the fruit of the Spirit, which is your spirit, is love, joy, peace. And you've got the ability to love, to leave your peace with people, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for something that is so real and is so tangible and it only comes from you. Oh, these are the things of the Holy Spirit as well, but these are the fruit of your spirit. And that's what you are to do. You are to demonstrate the kingdom of God, and that's joy, peace, and love. See, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about being marked for God. And we spoke about, it was Jesus went down to the seaside and he got into Peter's boat. And I'll pick this scripture up again, and it's Luke 5 and verse 6. "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the other partners, or their partners in the other boat, to come and help them. And when they'd filled both the boats, they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken." So the kingdom of God was to demonstrate to Peter the power of God. That was simply a demonstration of the kingdom of God that Jesus did. He demonstrated the kingdom. What's the kingdom about? Abundance. You know, it would have been okay to say, "Hey, Peter, just take your fishing line and flick it over the side and you're going to catch a fish." No, he said, "Get out in the deep, let down your nets for a catch." And it was a boatload sinking amount of fish. Not just one, but two. See, God wanted to take Peter and to blow his concepts of his mind about what abundance was. He had been toiling for years in that trade. Toiling. And only just getting by. In one action, God showed him, "I'm going to supply all your desires, all your needs, because I've got an abundance waiting for you." That's what the kingdom's about. Peter was convicted in his sinful nature, and it left him astonished and in awe. So much so that he left everything. He was so astonished and so much in awe. And we need to do likewise, calling things that do not exist as though they did, because that's what Jesus did when he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." He simply called for what he wanted. That's what he did. He didn't say, well, maybe if you give it another go, something might happen. No, it's a car accident. So he simply called for what he wanted. And that's what we've got to do when we get when we want to release the power of the kingdom. Start calling for what you want. Start calling for what you want. And he called for a boat sinking load of fish. And that's what he got. And everyone was amazed. Everyone was amazed. They'd never seen anything like this in their whole life. They'd never heard about this before. We're called to do great exploits for God. And in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, and it says, those who do wickedly against the covenant shall, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and shall carry out great exploits. We're not talking about small little experiments. You know, hopefully one day we can heal a cold or something like that. We've been given an assignment to carry out great exploits. Something that no one can do by themselves. Something that's impossible. And it's going to cause people to wonder and to say, who are they? That even the wind and the waves obey them. Who are these people? That they get what they say. Who are these people that live in abundance beyond what they naturally would be able to get hold of? They want to know where you've got that from. Did you win the lottery? Did you do this? No. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Not my riches, not my name, not my possessions, not my business, not anything else, but by him. My God, the God that I know. You know, Joshua 2 and verse 8, and it talks about the time when the Joshua sent out the spies into Jericho. And I want you to hear this. Now, before they lay down, she, that's Rahab, came to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Shinar and Og, who were you utterly destroyed. And verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and on the earth beneath. The whole nations were in fear of the kingdom of God. They were fearful of the kingdom of God, of what was happening. So there is. This is what we've to do to demonstrate, not that we want to intimidate people, but people need to hear that the power of God is so real. The power of God is so real and so tangible. I want to say something here. God's plan for your lifestyle is to stagger the imagination of the world. I'll say that again. God's plan for your lifestyle is to stagger the imagination of the world. That's what it is, to stagger the imagination. And in Luke's gospel, we've already read where they were astonished. And it says in verse 9 of chapter 5, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that was taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. See, that's what the power of God will do. People will be afraid. People will be afraid. And Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. From now on, I will make you catch men. So when they brought their boats in the land, they forsook all and followed him. That abundant catch of fish, they just left it. All their business, they left it. And they followed him. Would have been a great day on the beach that day. People dancing, free fish. because they now had got into a system where they knew that abundance was just a daily occurrence. It was going to happen. From that time on, they followed Jesus. You know, this is Peter. And if you read a bit about Peter, he's not easily impressed. He's pretty rough and pretty tough. And, you know, this idea that the supernatural is what the world needs is what I'm trying to get across to you. It's what the world needs. When miracles cease, people turn to false gods. I don't know if you realize that. When miracles cease, people turn to false gods. They look for something to replace what they need in their life. I want you to look at the book of Acts, because in Acts chapter 8 and verse 9, it talks about this situation. But there was a certain man called Simon, not Simon Peter, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, or they listened to him and gave him attention, from the least to the greatest. Now, so that meant from the least person to the ruler of that city gave this man attention and heed, saying, this man has great power of God. Now, he was using the power of the demonic realm. But he was doing some astonishing things, and the people in that city were convinced he was working the power of God because it was supernatural. And notice how the people were attracted to the supernatural. They're attracted to it. And verse 11, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. This is not a short time, but over a long period of time, he had practiced sorcery and he'd beguiled the people. But, I love this but in verse 12. But, when they believed Philip, so Philip just went down the area and started preaching. Just started declaring the word of God. But when they believed Peter, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Peter and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were being done. My point to you is this, that nothing can match the power of God. I mean, I will not deny that the enemy's got power. He's absolutely got power. But nothing will match the power of God. We know that when Moses, you know, threw down his staff and it turned into a snake or a serpent, the magicians and the soothsayers and those people there who were in Egypt, they got their staff and they did the same thing. So both could demonstrate power. But Moses' serpent just ate all the rest of them up. Yes. Nothing can match the power of God. Nothing at all. Nothing at all can match that. So nothing that Satan's got in his arsenal can match what God's got. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's nothing that he can bring against you that God can't trump. See, when the supernatural ceases, people begin to scatter and go to other forms of power, because they know there is something beyond the natural that they need. That's why we've got so many people playing around with crystals and doing all sorts of meditation and things like that, trying to get into an area where something is going to happen to them that they can't do themselves. You know, it's interesting. I just had a look at the titles, or some of the movie titles that came out this year. And all these are about supernatural. So you've got the Avengers Infinity War. I haven't seen these, but I just saw the titles and the briefs on them. Venom, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Black Panther, another supernatural one, Incredibles 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Aquaman, Deadpool 2, Halloween, Rampage, Jurassic World, all about supernatural powers. It's just movies that have come out this year. There's a hunger for things that are not natural. Because I believe that the supernatural is actually part of our DNA. It's a part of our makeup. We were made in the image and likeness of God. And so it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, there's a hunger in you for the supernatural. There is. And but the church is the one who's supposed to display God's supernatural power, so that when people see that, they're drawn to the church to give their lives to Christ, exactly like they were with Philip. When he spoke the word, they believed. When he spoke about the name of Jesus, they believed. And as a result, signs followed. Amen. See, they believed before the signs. Signs followed. But unfortunately, the church in many cases has gone away from its core value of demonstrating the power of the kingdom. And now we try to use excellence of speech, excellence of music, excellence of production to entice people to church. But it all does, it creates people coming to church, but there's no change in their life. You know, I think when I think back, one of the most enticing speakers of the last 100 years was a man who had a great dream of a super race of people that would dominate the world. And this was Adolf Hitler, and millions actually followed his enticing speech. When people heard him speak, there was something enticing about what he said. And it led to the death of 11 million people in World War II. And that was the enticing speech. So speech is not what it's about. So we can't be by excellent speech. We're going to have to come back to some basics, I believe. There's a cry in the world of something more that's supernatural. Let me tell you, you've been marked by God to be used in this area. And that mark is on you. That mark of God is on you. I want to go to Judges chapter 6. And in Judges chapter 6, we pick up the story of where the children of Israel were hiding. And they were impoverished. The enemy was stealing everything they had. And it picks up in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midians. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Again, it couldn't be further from the truth. It wasn't the truth at all. "Lord be with you, a mighty man of valor." Here he was, hiding, threshing wheat. But see, that's what God does. He calls things that are not as though they are. He saw in him the potential for greatness. And that's what he sees in you today. And you might say, "Well, I'm not very good. I can't do anything." But I can see the Lord is with you, mighty woman, mighty man of valor. He's there. He's waiting for you to believe that and declare some things. And Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all these things happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." The furthest thing from the truth. God had not forsaken them. They turned away. God was there all the time, but they turned away from God to seek other things. They sought pleasure. They sought these things, and they went down into sexual immorality in all those areas, which brought the enemy in. It brought the curse in. See, Israel was actually in a very shameful situation where they were totally powerless and hiding in the rocks and caves. And Gideon is asking a question. If the Lord be with us, where are all the miracles? And I dare say some of you ask that. Where are all the miracles? See, you've been designed to be informed on another level. I'll say that again. You've been designed by God to be informed on another level. That's right. See, you've been designed to be, you've got the ability to walk by faith and not by sight. And God's plan is for you to be an astonishment to the world. That's his plan. His plan that every time the world looks at you, they're astonished. So where is the problem? Why are we not seeing these things? You know, we have to get to a place where we believe the Bible, back to the basic truth, to a place where we believe the Bible and we believe it's true, and say, I'm going to put my reputation on the Word of God. See, the Bible tells us that what is true, because Satan is a master deceiver. I tell you, he's a master deceiver. He'll convince a person that they're sick, and he'll actually bring symptoms along when the Word says something different. He will convince you that you're sick, and he'll put the evidence there as well. He'll convince you that there's something wrong in your life, in your body, and he'll stack evidence against it as well. That's what he does. He doesn't just deceive you with a word. He deceives you with a symptom all the time. He'll try to convince a person that they're broke when they're actually rich. He'll try to convince you that you can never afford to do that when we've got the resources of heaven. So we cannot put any trust outside of the Word of God. If you put trust in anything outside of the Word of God, you're going to be led astray. I don't care how you feel in your body. I don't care what the report says. God has posted the truth, and the truth is you are healed. That's the truth. The truth is you're healed. The truth is you win. The truth is by His stripes you were healed. That's the truth. But you can either listen to what the enemy is trying to stack up against you. You know, I heard this recently by Bishop David Oedipole, who's a pastor of Living Faith Church in Nigeria. What an amazing ministry that is. That is an awesome ministry of things that they're doing. But it's interesting, he went to the doctor for his annual checkup, and the doctor told him that he had high blood pressure. And he replied, "No, I can't have high blood pressure." The doctor said, "Well, the instruments say that you've got high blood pressure. There it is, it's saying that." And the bishop said to the doctor, "No, I can't have it." And he said to the doctor, "Can a man have a baby?" And the doctor said, "No." He said, "Well, neither can I have high blood pressure." But the instruments were saying he had high blood pressure. But he didn't accept it. He went home and he applied Proverbs 4:20. 22. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they're life to those who find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh." So when the report came in, he went to the truth. He went to the truth. The report of sickness came in from the doctor with the evidence. But he says, I can't have that because I'm standing on this. It's health and medicine to all my flesh. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the doctor, or are you going to believe the Word of God? The Word of God has to win every time. And you've got to say, I choose to believe that. So what he did, he just went and applied that. He went and applied it. And so I say to you, go home, get some medicine. That's medicine. Get some medicine and apply it to yourself, and then go and get another checkup and say, now check it again. Check it again. Check it again. See, the enemy will try to get your blood pressure up and run your money down all the time. He's going to try things all the time to get you at both ends. And none of these reports you can accept, because it's been posted in the Bible that you're healed. When everything else is saying you're sick. When all the symptoms say you're sick, you go to the Word where it's been posted, you're healed. And get that out and declare it over that situation. Take it like medicine. You know, if you're critical ill in some area and you didn't know any better, you go to the doctor say, take this medicine. You'd go home and you'd take this medicine. You'd read it and it says, take it 3 times a day. I've got some better medicine. Take that three times a day. Take it three times a day like your life depends on it, because your life does depend on it.
No, that's right.
Take it like a medicine. Every time you say, I'm taking my medicine today. My kids have said to me, Dad, you're taking the flu shot. I said, no, I don't take the flu shot. I take the Word of God. That's the medicine I need. I'm going to take that. That's my medicine. See, you have to say, wait a minute. I have potential inside of me. And if you understand what potential means, it means unexposed ability, reserved power, dormant gifts, latent power, hidden talents. Your potential is actually limitless. It's limitless. You've got the same DNA that God's got. So the potential is the same as heaven. And that's what we do. We take the kingdom of heaven and we apply it down through our lives. See, God wants you to give you an assignment. There's natural gifts, but there's actually what I call endowments or anointings. So some people are really good at doing things, but when they're anointed, when the anointing comes on natural, it becomes supernatural. And he wants to give you an assignment, and he wants to anoint you for the task. He does not want you to, or expect you to use natural abilities to do what he's called you to do. See, he's going to lead you in a fight that you can't win without him. Have a look through the Bible. Everywhere they went, he led them into a fight they couldn't win naturally. He's going to lead you to a property that you cannot afford without him. He's going to put something in there where you cannot do it by your natural means. And that's why I say faith is only required when you can't do it naturally. He wants to do this. I don't know if you agree this with that at all, but that's where I believe for sure. And I say, occupy, do business till he comes. We've got to be doing the business of the kingdom. And all the enemy wants to do is raise up giants to block the entrances to your promised land. And that's what he did. Between the time that Abraham went to spy out, he went all over every part of that land of Canaan. He walked around every part of that land, and it was 400 years before the children of Israel went into the promised land. During that time, Satan had sent giants up on every road into the promised land to block it. These were giants. So when the 12 spies went out, they were confronted by the giants that were blocking the entrance to the promised land. That was their promised land. Promised Abraham 400 years beforehand, but the enemy put giants in the way. Men of great stature to bring fear and intimidation. So your promised land, all the things God's promised you, are blocked by giants right now that are too hard for you to tackle in the natural. You're going to measure up against those things and it's going to be cancer, or it's going to be this issue, too big for you to handle. That's when you need God's anointing. You need the kingdom of God to manifest in your life, and your job is to start declaring what the Word of God says. You've got to speak to that mountain. You've got to speak to that issue. You declare what Word of God says over that, and let it see it crumble. See, those giants were made for you to slay. They were. God didn't come supernaturally down and just cut the head off the giant. He took men and women who knew their God and declare those things. And that's what happened. He never does it. He empowers you to do it. So there's so many times we cry and say, God, why don't you do this? Why don't you heal me? And his response is, I've already healed you. I've already provided for you. It's up to you to declare what you want. It's up to you. See, you would not have been birthed in this hour if you weren't made to do what God's called you to do. You weren't born 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. You're born right now. I believe in the end time. God's waiting for men and women of faith at this time to demonstrate the power of the kingdom. He wants you to take dominion back over the earth. And this nation of Australia will only wake up when the sons of God are revealed. We're crying out to God, Lord, give us a nation that is got a mind towards you and a heart towards you. Start demonstrating the power of the kingdom. That's what's going to happen to change the tune of this nation. This is part of our calling. Now, Gideon said, where are all the miracles which our fathers told us? And Judges chapter 6 and verse 10 says this, also I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So here was a situation where God was telling them what the secret was they needed to do, because they were in fear, living in the land where the Amorites were, but they were fearful. And he says, don't fear the gods, but there's one thing, you have not obeyed my voice. So obedience is required to defeat the enemy. God is going to ask you to do something that actually sounds foolish and sounds impossible for you to do, and that also includes your healing. It includes the debt that you got. It's impossible. See, on the other side of obedience is a miracle. You should understand that. On the other side of obedience is the miracle. When God says something, he requires obedience. So whatever he says to do, what are you going to do? He says, whatever he says to do, you've got to do it. That's what the command was. It sounds so simple, but it's a key to your breakthrough. Your resources have become your stumbling block. Now, I say that because we live in a country that is fairly wealthy. So the resources that we have is our stumbling block. If you don't feel well, you can just go down to the doctor. And doctor, tell me the news. That's what he'll do. But he's a stumbling block. The resources that you, the finances you have, you can live in this country and you can survive because there's handouts. We've got resources available. But it's the biggest stumbling block we've got because we rely upon the government, we rely upon the medical system. Now, I'm not preaching against the medical system at all. I'm not preaching about the government at all. But I'm preaching about who's commanding you. See, faith will always put you in a place of ridicule if it doesn't work. Faith's always going to put you in a place where people will ridicule you. Your family, your doctor, your banker, your so-called friends will ridicule you when you stand in faith on the Word of God. I've had long discussions with my doctor. I go to a doctor once a year for a checkup. And I've long discussions because, you know, he doesn't believe that God is real. But when I declare something, it will work if you follow the rules of faith. And there's rules of faith. And this is what I want to show you in John chapter 1, chapter 2 and verse 1. You know this passage, it was the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they had run out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he says to do, do it. See, that's the command. Whatever Jesus says to you to do, just do it. If he says to you, run around 3 times, do it. If he says to spit in somebody's eye, if they're blind, I guess you'd do it. Make mud with spit, apply it to the eyes. It's going to make you look foolish if you don't follow the steps of faith. But if God says you to do something, do it. Do it quickly. I believe you have to do things quickly. Don't go and have a big, long meditation about it. If the word of the Lord says to you to do something, be quick to obey. That's where miracles happen, when you're quick to obey. The key to stepping out of faith is hearing the word of God, obeying the command of the Word of God. Just in getting close to closing here, Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. This is talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So you have to mix it with faith. And the tongue, your tongue is the mixer. Your tongue is the mixer. Whatever he says to do, do it. It's going to take you to say something. It's going to take you to declare something. You have to keep saying it until it gets so big in your heart that you can see it's done. See, this is where people get it wrong. They say that you should try and see it first. Vision it or dream it, but they've got it wrong. Go to the Word of God and say what it says. You start mixing it with your faith. As you go to the Word of God and start mixing it with the Word of God, start declaring your Word of God of your situation and start meditating on what Abraham said, because you are the seed of Abraham. Go and take a leaf out of his book and see what he said. And in Genesis 24 and verse 35, this is what the servant of Abraham said. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He's become great, and he's given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. See, that's what happened in Abraham's life, because he simply obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. We spoke about it last week, where he left the past behind. He said, I will go and I'll follow me, go to a place I will show you. He left everything behind, and then this is the result of leaving that behind. Great abundance came in his life. So when you meditate that, that's when you can meditate his word and say, I am a millionaire. I have abundance because the word's in there. So Matthew 14 and verse 14, and then Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion on them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, it's a deserted place. The hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves. And Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. That's really amazing. See, Jesus wants you to perform the miracle. He would not have told them to feed the 10,000 people if it was impossible for their faith to do it. Jesus to turn and say to them, you feed them, it was possible for their faith, if they released it, to feed them, feed those people. What would you do if Jesus said to you to feed them? Panic? Who, me? I haven't been in church long enough. I haven't got enough stars on my helmet or whatever. Whatever he says to you, just do it. That's what it takes, just do it. So Jesus saw two boats by the lake. Remember, he's got options. If you don't want to obey, he'll find somebody to obey. He'll find somebody to do it. So that's what we do. He could have chosen either of those boats, but he chose Peter's boat that day. He chose Peter's. So when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. So keep looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, and talking about Samuel. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. I want you to hear that. He let none of his words that he said fall to the ground. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to get you a place when you declare your words, none of your words fall to the ground. Amen. Because you meditate on the word, you've heard what the Holy Spirit said to you, and you declare them, and they will not fall to the ground. We have to dominate everywhere we go. Jesus wants you to obey his commands, release the power of the kingdom with your words, so miracles happen in your life and around your life. Let's stand up together. In fact, if you've heard from the Lord, and the Lord's told you to do something and you haven't really obeyed what he's done, it's a great opportunity for you right just now to say, Lord, I repent from that. I'm going to be quick to obey.